Certainly, additional development, additional lots are much needed in our community. And if you look out there, one of the things we've been looking at is taking inventory of the number of lots that are available to build on versus the need we have based on our housing study.
Several community development projects continue to hit milestones. Rohe's Executive Director Doug Williams shares the latest on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Just this last week, the city has approved building permits for phase two in the Heart of America project, which is 18 additional lots. And so the way it works is the contractor builds the streets and finishes them out. The city takes possession of them, basically, and then starts issuing permits. And I think they've issued, or will pretty quickly, have issued 9 or 10 permits for new homes. And so we'll see a lot of construction taking place sometime in the next 30 days. I think I talked to one of the builders yesterday, and he's got the basement guy lined up to do 5 of them out there right away. And then if you drive out there in that cul-de-sac, you can see that there's several sites that are leveled off for slabs because we have both slab and basement homes being constructed in that addition.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that first. Why are there, because as it is coming up, you're seeing different styles of home, and I'm wondering, is that just developer taste, or is there a reason for that?
Well, I think it's part of its cost. You can build a home on a slab a little bit cheaper than you can build a home with a basement, obviously, at least the same square footage. In this particular case, the builders, Platinum Builders is one of the builders out there. They've chosen to build on slabs, a little bit more square footage. And then Homes by Cornerstone has chosen to put in basements. Fortunately, thus far, they both hit very unique markets in terms of people, what they're looking for. They've sold them all, you know, well before that they've even started construction in most cases. But, you know, everything out there thus far has been a 2 or 3 bedroom, 2 bath, 2 car garage homes. And one of the things about that development, there's a lot of misinformation out there. You know, a lot of people have thought that it was income qualified. You had to be at a certain income level to buy a home out there. That's not the case. Some had thought that it has to be first time home buyers. That's not the case either. It's simply a matter of working with the builder to purchase the home. We did put a price cap that the builder could charge on phase one of $225,000. And Heart of America's cost per lot on phase two versus phase one was $7,000 higher per lot. So they were forced to raise the price to the contractor by $5,000. And then, of course, contractors have had some price increases as well. So in phase two, the maximum sales price is $235,000. But you're still getting a whole lot of house and a brand new house for that amount of money, and no special assessments on the lots because of the way Heart of America financed the project, along with the help from the city, county, and school district. And so still a whale of a deal if somebody's in that range. And the thing I would say is if people are interested in that, they should make inquiries and talk to these builders. And they can certainly call our office. We're happy to give them the contact information for the builders, because while they are selling ahead of schedule, that doesn't mean that there isn't a spot maybe in this next development for somebody that might be interested in one. So I would encourage anybody to get hold of us, and we'll put you in touch with the builders.
Yeah, and really, I think as we continue developing these and see that where we're selling them long before, I'm wondering, you know, for these developers, are they actively out there looking for other places where they could build in a similar way, or is that even not an option right now?
Well, you know, certainly additional development, additional lots are much needed in our community. And if you look out there, one of the things we've been looking at is taking inventory of the number of lots that are available to build on versus the need we have based on our housing study and that type of thing. We need around 40 to 50 single family residences a year to meet the growth objectives that we have. And we've got about 40 to 50 lots available that we can identify out there, not even necessarily in the proper price ranges. So we're going to run out of lots. And so we're trying to get ahead of that. And Heart of America is doing the engineering on Wheatland Drive, which is in the Tallgrass Second Edition. the entryway into the NCK Tech campus. There's another 12 lots there. And then they own the 21 acres to the north of the developments that they've done. And they have some initial drawings for up to 75 to 80 lots in that area, which hopefully we'll get started on sometime in 2024. Probably won't be 2023. That's the other challenge with development is nothing happens very quickly. You know, you get this idea and you start down the path, but it's 12 to 18 months kind of minimum before you actually start seeing, certainly before you have available lots.
Moving on to a different one, The Grove. This is going to be a housing project as well that it's going to help in that project. What's the latest there?
Well, we are, as I just mentioned, you know, it takes a long time to do all this stuff. We're going through the process of annexation, platting, and zoning. That we hope to have done sometime in the next 30 to 60 days. After that, we'll put the we'll get engineering going on the actual streets, sewer, water, all of those kind of things, and put it out for bid to start putting in the streets. Figure out, and then of course along the way, somewhere along the way, we're going to have to figure out how we pay for all that, because it's probably a $3 to $5 million investment to put in all of that infrastructure. There's various ways to finance that. As an example, Heart of America did the RHID, the Rural Housing Incentive District, in the Tallgrass edition. That may be a possibility in the Grove, but there are other methods of financing that public infrastructure, and we're exploring all of those as we move through these other steps of the process.
Very cool. And, you know, for those that maybe have missed it, because this is a newer project that you guys are tackling, or newer, the information's relatively new. Let's do just a recap real quick of what that actually looks like.
Well, Grow Hayes was able to acquire the 21 acres north of Hayes Medical Center. It consists of a large lot that has wheat on it right now, but and then the house on the corner. We'll be moving that house off and developing that into some multifamily units, sixplexes on the corner of 27th and Canterbury, and then about 65 single-family residences or duplexes, primarily geared to retirees, built for retirees' needs, not restricted to retirees, but definitely catering to that market, and hope to start on, as I said, that infrastructure sometime next spring, about a year from now. We would hope to be having activity going on with streets and those kind of things, and then some houses going on there sometime maybe a year from this coming summer.
Okay. You know, and in the larger picture there, we've got that Heart of America development and the Grove, both on the east side of town. I'm wondering if you want to talk about why we're developing in that particular area and developing that way rather than south, north, or west.
Well, south is not even really an option because it's owned by Kansas State and some of that kind of thing. So there's really no development land that would be directly adjacent to the city where infrastructure is close. You know, you got to have water, sewer, those kind of things. North would love to get something going, but we have land up there. The land that is contiguous to the city is not available. The sellers have not been willing to part with that land, so we are in dire straits in the northwest part of the community. East is where the land is available. It's where some of these things were platted, and so they're kind of ready to go. Infrastructure's close, so that's the most logical expansion area. And then north, we've got some discussions going on, you know, north of Walmart and up in that area. There's some possibilities up there. But most of it has to do with land availability. You know, it just if you can't acquire the land, or if you can't acquire it at a livable price, it's very difficult to do, because although land is only one part of the equation here, all of the other costs associated with development have really gone up a lot. And so, you know, dealing with that and really the cost of development has outrun people's ability to pay the price that it would take for a lot. So you've got to get a lot more creative in your efforts on these things. You've got to figure out which of the programs that are available either through the state of Kansas or the city or the county or the school district to try and make this work, because it's not an easy task right now.
Okay. Moving on to a slightly different topic here, but your micro factory, some activity going on there as well, right?
There is. If you go out by there, you can see the lots all leveled off, and they've got An important aspect of it is access to the site. There's a big ditch there, so they've had to put in some culverts and build up some dirt and build it up so you can get in and out of it, which is always good if you're going to have a business. And they're going to be doing some work on the footings, I think, in the next week or so, and then we'll be pouring the slab for the foundation, basically, and then sometime this summer you'll start to see some steel out there and going vertical with it. That's always the more exciting part. You know, everything that occurs, there's a lot that has to occur underground and on the ground before you can start that, but you really start to see a project take shape once you start putting up either walls on a house or steel girders on a metal building like this is. So we're thinking that this summer we're probably a little bit behind schedule. Just like seems like everything happens these days. Everybody's extremely busy, and when somebody gets delayed a week, it causes everybody to be delayed or even more than that, because if they had it scheduled and they couldn't get there then, it might be 2 or 3 weeks before they can get back. So, but we're trudging on with it.
You know, I'm curious, when are we looking at maybe at this point having some businesses in there and operating?
Probably around the first of next year, sometime early January, February of 2024. We're going to be talking to people and vetting prospects between now and then. But in terms of people actually being in there and making things, we're talking, next spring, or late winter, early spring.
Have there been businesses or business ideas, potential entrepreneurs that have approached you guys about what might go in there?
We have talked to several. We're trying to still figure out if they're a good fit and if that meets their requirements. And then, you know, there's always the challenge of matching up the types of manufacturers there are. These are going to be manufacturers, and some manufacturers have a very dirty, messy process with lots of hazardous materials and smoke and all that kind of thing. And then, you know, the next one might be making medical tubing or something like that. That's two bad examples probably, but they don't mesh together very well. So that's one of the challenges we'll have, is to try and match up the manufacturers and make sure they're compatible.
Excellent. With our last minute or so, Doug, I know you've got a quarterly luncheon come up. What's that going to be about?
That's going to be Network Kansas, which is one of our very important partners. They have e-communities all across the state, and they assist communities with entrepreneurship activities as well as e-community loans, of which we have 24 businesses right now that have e-community loans that we have helped them with, about $700,000 total outstanding. And Eric Peterson and Thomas Papadatos, I have trouble with that, are going to be here talking about their programs, and Thomas is part of their venture capital division, which is kind of angel investor type people who come in and help small businesses if they need an injection of capital and things. So it'll be a really good program, and the best part of it, and I know it'll be well attended, because I will not be speaking and these guys will be much more interesting than anything I would ever say.
Excellent. And that is free. You just got to RSVP, and there's a Zoom option as well, right?
That's correct. June 14th, noon.